This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2109. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, short, medium, and very long wave. On this edition, recorded October 21st, Alaska, Antarctica, Australia, Bangladesh, Brazil, Canada, China, Colombia, Cuba, Ethiopia, Germany, Greece, Korea, North and South, Madagascar, Myanmar, Poland, Sweden, Thailand, USA, Chicago Museum, and the propagation of... Standard disclaimer. Of the two shortwave broadcasting seasons of the year, the B season always starts on the last Sunday in October, which means it's as late as it can be this year, the 31st. Not coincidentally, the date that Europe goes off daylight shifting time, but not North America until 1 week later, which causes a week of confusion. There is further confusion because many stations change not only their times, but their frequencies. 2 weeks before this, HFCC makes public its tentative schedule for the new season, as Joe Jacob first pointed out on October 17th. Stephen Luce in Texas says a quick look at the schedules of major international broadcasters does not reveal any output cuts. Good news. I'd been curious if rising electricity costs might have an impact. However, that expense might be contractually locked in for the time being. Via hfcc.org, the schedules may be accessed in different ways, by individual station or by frequency management organizations, or by a master by frequency schedule. Let's start with Alaska, KNLS. Though it's known for making some abrupt changes, here's what they plan for their English hours. At 08, 6075. At 10, 9680. At 12, 9580 and 9625. And at 14 UT, 6110. I've looked through these schedules, and as always, there are several countries which have huge schedules of imaginary broadcasts, or to put it slightly more politely, wooden registrations. For example, don't you believe most of the info you will find under Algeria, India, Indonesia, Russia, WHRI. Once again this week, the Saturday broadcast of LRA 36 Antarctica was not to be heard, but they were on the air the following Wednesday, October 20th, until chopped off the air at 16:07, as monitored via remotes in Brazil, of course, on 15475.98 reduced carrier USB. Meanwhile, the 2022 crew for LRA 36 has been selected, for the first time, all female, four women. I wonder if this means they're about to close down now for the summer until resuming around February. Manuel Mendez found an announcement about the new team at the Radio Nacional website in Argentina. Romina Sabalsa is one of three producers who, together with a technical operator, make up the team that in 2022 will be in charge of Radio Nacional Arcángel San Gabriel, Base Esperanza. Romina said she's a dentist, a native of Tucumán, in the Navy, and will travel next February with her family to Esperanza Base. Together with producers Maria Rodriguez, Claudia Albarracín, and tech op Mariela Churquina, she's undergoing training to take on the task for the whole of next year. There are now three low-power private shortwave stations just above 5 megahertz in Australia. Tim Rato in Iowa says, I got a little audio out of Island FM on 5045, around 1200 UT local sunrise, October 16th, barely above threshold, but the best I've heard them. More easily heard in nearby Victoria by Rob Wagner, reporting to the NASA flash sheet. Bay Island FM 880, he says, on 5045 from Bay Islands, Queensland, heard October 8th from 0900, rock programming and excited DJ IDs, a fair signal in the AM mode. Even though you're listening to lo-fi shortwave, putting up with the usual atmospherics, you can still hear the bass and lower mid frequencies of the music, unlike 5035. That one is Unique Radio, our former affiliate, in Narabri, NSW. Rob reports it October 8th at 09 with antique third-rate pop music and occasional IDs, fair signal. It's on the air weekends only in USB, which strips the bass and lower mids audio so you can't hear any electric bass or bass drum. The resulting sound really tinny, hardly conducive to a predominantly music program station. You'd better click on the stream from their website instead. And the third one is on 5055 4KZ in Innisfail, Queensland. October 8th at 0940, the strongest of the three, fairly good signal, and always the first to fade in. It relays 4KZ AM with a history of rock and roll show. Local ads and news on the hour sign off at 1010. Next in the alphabet, and also from Rob Wagner, Bangladesh on 4750, October 8th at 1945, in Bangla to South Asia with commentaries, ID at 1955, and sign off 1958. He says a strong signal, and great to hear the audio was so clean and pure after many months of distorted transmissions, and it easily overpowered co-channel Voice of Indonesia, which is actually 50 hertz low. He reports it October 8th at 2000 in French with news, a weak signal after Bangladesh signed off, and slight interference from the low-powered Chinese on the same frequency. You may find it more difficult to hear Brazilian radio stations. Mike Terry forwards an item from the RadioReporter.org blog, October 16th. The economic crisis triggered by the pandemic, where 600 kilo people have died in Brazil, has brought many broadcasters to their knees. They have asked to reduce their transmission power in order to cut operating costs. So the Ministry of Comms has allowed radio and TV broadcasters to reduce authorized watts by up to 30% for 6 months, at times when the audience is less busy. Doug Brown in Ontario notes that the CRTC has published a long list of CBC radio and TV stations across the country whose licenses have been renewed, including the two shortwave stations, CKZN in Newfoundland and CKZU in Vancouver, but both of which have been off the air for several years from 6160. He says, I wonder if this means CBC is keeping its options open, or it may just mean that someone was just too lazy to update the list before submitting its application for renewal. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard says on 6200, Voice of Jinling, China, is off the air. October 20th, we were clearly silent at 1303. In the past, they started about 1230 with their well-known double sign-on. So now I'm only hearing Xuzhang PBS Tibet on 6200 with no QRM. And that's parallel to 4920 and 6130. On 4940, the mysterious Maikal missionaries in Colombia were not heard October 14th at 0627. I can usually at least get a carrier and some audio overnight. But others heard them the next night. However, on October 20th, I had a 20 over 9 open carrier on 4940 until 0602 UT. It seemed to be too strong for Maikal, Montana, but there's no sign of that signal underneath it. Possibly they were testing a power increase. Also, it was too strong for VOA from Africa. Because you cannot trust Radio Havana, Cuba to be honest about Cuban affairs, let alone American. Check out the other side. This is recommended, the Diario de Cuba website, and it's available in English, diariodecuba.com. A recent story was headlined, Growing Old in Cuba is Like a Living Hell. Some Ethiopian frequencies had been missing, but October 19th at 1425, Ron Howard checked the new intruding frequency of the Radio Ethiopia Home Service, 7110, and there it was, on the air as usual. At that time, he's getting it by long path. Wolfgang Bischel says in the morning, 7110 comes on about 0358 with a carrier, but program feed activation may not happen until 0405. And for him, it fades out by 0630 in Europe. Furthermore, the intruder band watch of ham radio operators reports that second harmonic of 7110 in the 20-meter band, 14220. Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener in Germany reports about the Zeta 2 station, formerly on the air from its own station in Saxony, but only twice in 6 months before moving the equipment. It now tests from Thuringia, and the ID is aus dem Raum Gera, from the Gera region, G-E-R-A. The owner of the site wants to keep it confidential. It had been heard on 6115 at 0806. Richard Langley in New Brunswick recommends a music program from the Voice of Greece, relayed from the domestic third program. Loosely translated into English, it's Long Day's Journey into Night, a very enjoyable music program. It's Saturdays and Sundays from 20 to 21 UT, I suppose, 1 hour later once DST is over. But he says VOG does not transmit shortwave on Sundays, so the Sunday airing would only be accessible via the web. Of course, more enjoyable also on the web stream on Saturdays. It's a combination of poetry and music. The poetry is lost on me, he says, but it's worth listening to for the music. 9420. Ron Howard reports on New Country Broadcasting in Korean, 16 to 1630 UT on 9585 via Uzbekistan. It's called Sainala Bangsong, that's S-A-E-N-A-L-A. He found more info about it at the Now on the Radio website. It's a religious station presented by Sons and Daughters Company of South Korea. Hopeful messages packed with new sounds to attract all demographics of North Koreans. Ron Howard also reports on the usual clandestines from South to North Korea as of Monday, October 18th. Echo of Hope, VOH, on New 3990, 6063.55. At 0723, by 0903, he was hearing their additional frequencies, 4890, 6250, and 9100. While at 0910, the other one, Voice of the People, was heard on only three frequencies instead of the usual six, 3910, 4450, and 6520. On October 15th and 16th, Ivo Ivanov, Observer Bulgaria, was reporting a new transmission via Talata, Madagascar, at 15 to 1530 UT on 11555. It's registered in HFCC, 340 degrees with 250 kilowatts for East Africa in Tigrinya. He hears it well via remote in Russia, however, and the name is Radio Mazaris Samay, I spell M-A-Z-A-R-I-S-S-A-M-A-Y. He says it's probably Christian or clandestine. For the Myanmar clandestine, Voice of National Unity Government, Radio NUG, Ivo Ivanov says the 1229 to 1258 transmission via Madagascar on 17710 has been canceled in the A21 HSCC database, but it is still heard at 1330 to 1359 on 12,000 kilohertz via Taiwan into a remote in Vietnam as of October 17th. Here's an interesting new entry in HFCC B21, maybe not yet active. It's for SPW, that's the call sign Radio Warsaw, called a transatlantic radio station, even though the registered schedule is 10 kilowatts non-directional, from Babice, Poland, at 07 to 10 on 7430, and 07 to 13 on 7415. Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener explains, this was first registered in 2020, when the friends of the historic Babice station planned to revive the historic site. Between the First and Second World Wars, Babice was home to the International Communications Station of Poland, and also the site of external broadcasts. The call sign is reminiscent of the early shortwave station of Polsky Radio.
This is the non-commercial, non-communist, non-capitalist, non-corporate, non-Christian, non-Cuban media program, World of Radio 2109, also bringing you the equally non-website, worldofradio.com.
Our thanks this week for financial support from Christopher Campbell in Ohio. We sent a contribution via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute via money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Via Joe Caberlin and Mike Terry, there's a UN Day transmission from Sweden's very low frequency station, SAQ, Sunday, October 24th, from the unique and historical Alexanderson alternator in Grimeton, Sweden. SAQ sends out its test message on 17.2 kHz CW. There are also events for those actually attending the site. If you can't tune VLF, check out some remote receivers in Europe which do. But there will also be a YouTube live stream starting at 1425 UT. At 1430, the startup and tuning of the Alexanderson alternator. And at 1500, the transmission of the message of SAQ. But stay tuned, because at 15:20 on YouTube, there'll be a live music concert from the Transmitter Hall. More details at the website, alexander.n.se. Furthermore, they plan to carry out some test transmissions on Friday the 22nd, roughly between 11 and 14 UT for short periods of time, tests and measurements. This year's message was drafted by Swedish human rights lawyer and sustainability expert Parul Sharma. Dating from the 1920s, the Alexanderson alternator, essentially an AC generator run at extremely high speed, can put out 200 kilowatts, but typically is operated at less than one-half that power level. Once used to provide reliable transatlantic communication, it is now a museum piece and only put on the air on special occasions. Six 400-foot towers with 150-foot crossarms support a multi-wire antenna for SAQ. During this event, amateur radio station SK6SAQ will also be active in CW on 3535, 7035, 14035, and SSB on 3755 and 7140. B21HFCC still shows the traditional times for English broadcasts from Radio Thailand, even though recently they've been reported, many of them, half an hour earlier than before. So which will they really be? In any event, we see the usual frequency change for the North American service between midnight and 0330 to 13750. And English has been during the first hour, but with a beam change in the middle at midnight 30, and again for half an hour at 0200. A bunch of very low-power HIFR beacons are listed between 13550 and 13570, but the only one I occasionally hear is K6FRC in California on 13565, always around 14 UT. However, on October 19th, I was not hearing it, but instead a new one on 13563.5, sending YSO over and over, as in Yellow Springs, Ohio. Yes, that's where it is, according to the list, operated by ham radio station AJ8S, James C. Bailey. Dan Robinson, formerly of VOA, says another major figure from VOA's past has gone, Gil Butler, remembered for his reporting overseas, covering the assassination of Anwar Sadat. Dan says, I worked with Gil in Cambodia in the 1990s, as we covered the UN-supervised election there. Amazingly, no mention of this at the VOA site, but then VOA does not have the reputation of marking the passing of many of its former correspondents. However, Dan did find a regular obituary for him at dignitymemorial.com. His full name, Milburn Garland Butler. He passed away Sunday, October 10th in Waldorf, Maryland. World of Radio was missing from its scheduled airtime on IRRS 7290, Friday, October 15th, 1815 UT. Alfredo Cotroneo explains that on the third Friday of each month, we are being preempted by another program. And by the way, from November, our time is expected to shift one real UT hour later to 1915 UT Fridays on 7290, as well as that time on 918 via Italy and the other relays. And from October 31st, our other European affiliate, WMRI, is expected to shift one UT hour later, Sundays, at 13:30 on 9670 via Channel 292 Germany. And starting November 7th, our times on WBCQ and some but not all of our times on WRMI also shift one UT hour later, as North America goes off daylight shifting. Furthermore, next Sunday, October 31st, Halloween, our 2230 UT broadcast on WRMI 9955 is preempted for a Halloween special provided by Satanic Shortwave. It's 1 hour long. But at that hour, we should still be on the other frequency, 5950. The superstation of WBCQ 9330 continues to be erratic on Alan Weiner Worldwide. John Carver heard him say, they have not been able to run more than 36 hours till another problem pops up. The company still had someone there tinkering with the transmitter, and whenever they turn around, a new problem appears. He's very upset about this transmitter, but had wanted to buy American, and wonders if that was a mistake. If they'd been thinking, he would have had a backup transmitter in place to avoid downtime, but since it was brand new and American-made, he thought it would be all right. They are looking into a backup transmitter now. Dino Bruce, Miami, of the Spanish DX program, Frecuencia Lía, informs us that effective October 16th, KVOH in California, the Voice of Hope, has stopped broadcasting in Spanish on 9975. That language will continue only via the Internet. From now on, KVOH will be in English from 01 until 06 UT, Tuesday through Sunday on 9975. We're surprised since KVOH's main target has been Latin America. Well, English-speaking USA and Caribbean are on the way. Tim Hall near San Diego says, now's the time to log WJXL 1010 Jacksonville, Florida. It should be audible throughout the southwestern U.S. He's heard them recently and believes that their directional pattern is very much out of whack. Their day pattern has a small back lobe to the west, and their night pattern is almost entirely into the Atlantic to the east. It seems like whatever they're doing is not really close to either pattern. In any case, this may be your best opportunity for Western DXers to log Florida in the last 30 years. WJXL 1010 runs a ton of local ads and lots of promos, so you should be able to ID them in a few minutes if you can get past any local interference. IRCA DX Monitor has just published Tim Hall's October-November 2020 Border End Expedition, his final report. It's the Beveridge site at the border of Nevada and Utah on U.S. 6 and 50, from October 28th to November 1st last year. He says, for those who don't know, 99% of my DXing is done in one annual trip to the Nevada-Utah border. I make over 100 Perseus recordings on each of these trips. Each year I hustle to file a preliminary report, a partial 30-day review of recordings, to meet DX Club publication deadlines, and then I spend 9 or 10 more months reviewing the rest of the recordings, leaving me only 1 month or so to get my station lists and targets set up for the next trip. The end of October is a consistently productive time for catching operational glitches, especially station switching to day rig at the wrong time. Some of these anomalies have been observed before and may be good DX targets again at the end of October 2021. It's an extremely impressive multi-page report arranged by frequency. I'm going to deal with only one of them, one of the more unusual ones, on 1650 kHz, heard October 29th at 1259 UT. From Flagstaff, Arizona, KBXZLP. Says a big surprise, barely audible for a few seconds. I heard part of a promo for Fox Sports. Outkick the coverage. This show should just have been ending at that hour. And then covered by English top-of-hour liner from Southern California's number one Korean language station, KFOX. And then it faded back up for what must have been a promo for Fox's The Herd with Colin Cowherd. He says, I first discovered this station while visiting Flagstaff about a sesquidecade ago and have noted it on every subsequent visit. They have a webpage, foxsports1650.com, and appear in Fox Sports affiliate listings. They appear to be operated by Out the Window Advertising, a local agency in Flagstaff, and reportedly use a series of Part 15 compliant transmitters scattered around the city. But on my visits to Flagstaff, it has always sounded like a single, full-strength TIS signal. They are 100% automated and simply run the national Fox Sports radio feed. Not necessarily in sync with other Fox Sports stations, including 30-second promos for various programs provided in the national feed at points where the local stations might sell ads. They do not have a top-of-hour ID because they have no call sign despite appearing as KBXZLP in some listings. Occasionally, they might successfully queue up a Fox Sports 1650 liner, but that's about it. It seems to me they used to run ads when they were first on the air about 15 years ago, but I'm not sure if they still do. I can't see how that would be legal. The only thing I can do to ID them is to prove that it was not some other station. The only sports talker on 1650 and the only English language station, apart from KFOX hourly liner amid Korean, that could possibly come in this late in the morning is KCNZ in Iowa, and it's mostly CBS Sports Radio. The transmitter locations are unknown, but the other Flagstaff stations are 297 miles from my listening post. This is my Arizona station number 78. So reports Tim Hall, Border End Beveridge DXer. Some anomalies reported in the Michigan ARE tip sheet. Robert Chart and Gary Vance confirmed that WPRR 1680 from Grand Rapids was running dead air and is still running no modulation. He's heard speculation that they might have a subcarrier of some kind, but as far as editor Kenneth Vito Zicke knows, this is not allowed. The only explanation I can come up with is incompetence or a complete lack of caring. Gary Vance also noted no audio from Michigan's mistake, KTGG 1540, in Okemos near Lansing. By mistake, he's referring to the FCC assigning a call sign starting with K east of the Mississippi. Dead air is becoming a full-fledged epidemic in Michigan. Understandably enough, KTGG's FM translator in Lansing, 104.7 W284AH, is booming in, while KTGG 1540 is silent and barely showing a carrier, thus providing more credence to the explanation, we just don't care. Nobody listens to AM, so as long as the FM works, who cares? It's sad, really. Zinke's specific log on 1540 of KTGG was October 14th at 1930 to 1935 UT. Dead air, just a moderate carrier visible, but nothing from Strong Tower or any other signal making it through. Station number 3 in Michigan using electricity for no good reason, apparently. In the Minnesota DX Club, Richard Larson refers us to an article at www.robertfeeder.com, Museum of Broadcast Communications, to open a Century of Radio exhibit. Treasures on display in a new exhibit celebrating radio's centennial. The Century of Radio officially opens October 28th at Chicago's Museum of Broadcast Communications, 360 North State Street, and admission is free through the end of the year. David Plyer, chairman of the museum, says radio has been fueled by creative genius, whether they worked on air or behind the scenes. Our museum will provide the learning platform to the next generation to explore the past, turn a critical eye on the present, and fuel the change for the future. Articles on display include WGN's original Studio A, once used by Bob Collins, Roy Leonard, Spike Odell, and Steve King, and Johnny Putnam. Among others, a 1912 spark gap transmitter, the first to generate a frequency of electromagnetic waves, and a rare collection of vintage radio premiums. The official opening, October 28th, coincides with the 2021 Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremony at Chicago's Wintrust Grand Banking Hall. The Hall of Fame is administered by the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Through a series of rotating displays, the year-long exhibition on the technical, creative, and commercial history of the medium will bring to life the intertwined stories of the business, the science, and the culture of an industry that transformed the American experience. Craig Kitchen, co-chair of the Radio Hall of Fame, says radio offers a rich history of creative work and technological innovation. It's important that the museum is showcasing to the public all that radio has given us, encouraging the next generation of talent to our industry. A Century of Radio is scheduled to run through summer 2022.
The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder. Geomagnetic field expected to reach active levels November 6. A and K indices peaking at 12 and 4. The remainder of the outlook period through November 13 is expected to be mostly quiet or quiet to unsettled. Solar flux rising from 80 October 24 to a peak of 90 October 26, down to 80 by November 12.
And that's World of Radio 2109. Glenn Hauser here, hoping you found it informative. And we'll make a point of hearing me again next week with a standard disclaimer.